That was Morning Runner with Burning Benches. It's Saturday afternoon. This is Adam and Joe on XFM London's 104.9 with you for the next 2 hours for our regular Saturday afternoon show.
And what a show we have for you this week.
Yes.
And that's by no means a cliche. That's understating things.
Yes. We've got DVDs to give away. One of the best films ever made, The Cooler, starring William H. Macy as a man who goes into gambling casinos and cools people's luck. Yeah?
Yeah, I've never seen it. Have you seen it?
No, but I'm sure it's brilliant. And we've got five copies of it to give away.
I hear it's brilliant.
Plus, we've got a pair of tickets to see The Delays at the Shepherd's Bush Empire on Tuesday, the 7th of March, and a pair of tickets to see The Dead, 60s, at the Astoria on Sunday, the 19th of March. I thought that was to see the Angelica Houston film, The Dead, which is very depressing and about a funeral and was made about 15 years ago. But no, it's a better prize than that. A ticket to see The Dead 60s at the Astoria on Sunday, the 19th of March. What more motivation could you want to listen? Well, I'll tell you what more motivation.
What?
I'm going to be taking into a ride into the wonderful, wacky world of Werner Herzog's accent.
Yes, because last week we were listening to Michael Treadwell?
No, Timothy Treadwell.
Timmy Treadwell.
We were listening to clips from Grizzly Man, the fantastic documentary.
Yeah.
This week, a whole other aspect of that. The extraordinary voice of Werner Herzog. He's been in the news lately because he was shot during an interview. But we'll get into that later.
Wow.
That's, if you don't know who Werner Herzog is, you might be excited by the idea of someone being shot. That'll motivate you to listen. Buy a BB gun, not a real gun.
Right,
we wouldn't celebrate proper shooting on this show.
No, we're anti-shooting.
We think it's disgusting.
On the whole, yeah.
Yeah. But before all that, anything you want to tease, Adam?
Oh, well, we've got a very good crap commentary coming up, don't we?
Oh, we've got a brilliant one. That's very true. It's a acting and directing partnership who you will have heard before on this show. Last time we played them, they really delivered in terms of stupidity. This week, they're outdoing themselves with one of the most brain-blastingly idiotic commentary clips ever.
So stay tuned for that. But let's have a free play right now. This is one of my favourite bands of all time. And
Not the Birdie song again.
What, don't you like the tweets? People love the tweets.
Okay, play the tweets then.
Well, no, I'm not going to. Now that you've said that, I'm not going to play them. Because
what are you going to play?
Why can't you just diss the tweets like that?
Well, I think they're manufactured pop.
All right, man. You really bring me down.
I'm sorry,
sometimes.
But, you know, I've had enough of the tweets.
All right, I'm not going to play the tweets. I'm going to play Kraftwerk instead. There you go. That was Tour de France by Kraftwerk. But here's an amazing fact for you. I re-edited that myself to take all my favourite sections and put them all together, so I hope I haven't ruined that for anyone.
It's all about you this week, Adam.
It's mainly about me.
Because, of course, last night, Adam appeared in the Channel 4's hit sitcom, The IT Crowd, The It Crowd, you can say it either way, which was fantastic. Congratulations.
Thanks very much indeed.
It's great to have you in the studio.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here.
Thanks for fitting us into your busy schedule.
Not at all. First of all,
is it true about the movie role? Mission Impossible 4?
Yes, it is true.
Based just on that appearance last night?
Absolutely. They've told me that I'm no longer in the running.
Yeah. Oh.
So, yes, it's true.
And tell us a bit about what it's like. What it's like on the set of The IT Crowd.
Is that an exciting experience? I thought you were going to say just to be famous.
Well, no, tell us anything.
Well, Joe, to be famous is amazing. Mm. It's amazing. There's a song by The Streets which discusses the phenomenon, and I agree with Mike Skinner. It is very difficult.
You probably know him. Do you know him?
I do know Mike Skinner. I choose to ignore him.
Is he in The IT Crowd?
He's not.
He probably came to watch it filmed.
He wasn't allowed in. He wanted to be in The IT Crowd.
But he's famous and you're famous.
I'm more famous.
Famous people hang out together. Has he tried to sleep with you?
He did try.
Have you got scratches on your back off of Mike Skinner's fingers?
Yes, I do.
Oh, dirty.
And I like them.
No, come on, seriously, though. But,
what kind of interview is this?
It's a sexy one. listen, so The IT Crowd, what was it like?
Do you want a serious answer?
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, serious answer, it was really good fun, and it was the first. I've only ever been in one of those sort of things. I was in Swiss Tony once.
Yeah, yeah.
I had one line.
Yeah, I saw you in that.
Did you?
Yeah, you were good.
Thanks very much, one line.
You know, yeah, that was a really good line.
Yeah, thank you.
But you had more lines in The IT Crowd, didn't you?
Yeah, I had a few scenes.
Basically, the episode pivoted around you.
More or less.
Mm.
And I had to do a lot of screaming.
Yes.
And in fear.
I liked that.
And when I went and auditioned for the role, the director, Graham Linehan, who is a friend of ours, we should add.
Mm. Well, otherwise you wouldn't have got the role.
No, well, I don't know. I went in. I was up against other people.
I was
for
being
it.
Sarcastic. I don't mean
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but it's quite possible that there was some favoritism involved. Anyway, I was very pleased that I got it. And I had to do a great deal of screaming when I went in. And I was very nervous because I'm not a good screamer generally because I'm quite a reserved person. But no, it was really good fun and lots of. It was nerve-wracking.
Hey, sorry to cut you off. That was always interesting. But do one of the lines from it.
Do one of the lines.
Say one of the things you said in it.
Okay. I was the last person to sleep with her.
Wow. I remember that. That was a good bit. Listen, I'd just like to make it clear as well that I am doing very well as a director and a writer.
Yeah.
So just because you're not seeing me on telly doesn't mean that in any way Adam's better than me.
Yeah, nice.
I'd just like to make that clear.
Nice.
So that's brilliant. I'm going to ask Adam some more questions about the IT crowd later. And if you want to text or email questions, then go ahead. You know the number and the text.
There'll probably be some. It's divided opinion, the IT crowd.
Man, I think it's brilliant. I think it's one of the funniest things on telly. Maybe apart from, or maybe it's precisely equal with The Boosh, which BBC Two have buried on Monday nights at 11:15.
Well, let's hope. It would be nice
but
if
at least Channel 4 give these things a big push, you know?
They do.
On the one hand, you've got the Mighty Boosh that has been completely unadvertised and untrailed, but is genius, and is suffering because it isn't hyped enough. On the other hand, you've got the IT crowd that's massively hyped with a big campaign, and as a result, people are disappointed because their expectations are astronomical.
But the Boosh aren't suffering, though. They're doing pretty amazingly well.
They're doing pretty well, but that show should be on in a proper slot at a proper time.
Their DVD is amazing.
They are amazing.
You know, a lot of people complain about the canned, what they think is canned laughter on
We should talk about that in more detail.
Okay, should we talk about that?
Yeah, should we come back? Should we do a record and come back to that?
Absolutely.
Just keep things peppy.
Ooh, Pepe.
Pepe Le Pew.
I love you, Pepe. You know, you're talking about the Dead 60s earlier.
Yeah.
Why don't we play some?
this is magical.
That was the Dead 60s with Riot Radio. You're listening to Adam and Joe on XFM. We'll be back shortly. In the
morning. That was The Choral with In the Morning, the first single to be taken from the Liverpool Six Pieces' fourth album, The Invisible Invasion.
That was one of my... Sorry to interrupt, Joe. One of my favourite singles of last year.
Oh, terrific. Yeah. In touch you are. Tell us something else about The Choral quickly now. Rubbish, you're lying.
They hurt when you step on them.
Right. Okay, this is Adam and Joe, XFM. Did I say that already?
Yeah.
London's 104.9. It's time for Crap Commentary Competition, and that means it's time for the jingle.
Crap Commentary Call. Nah, Commentary Call.
It's a crap commentary recorded off of a DVD. Why don't you listen and see? You could win some crap for free. Can you tell who's speaking? Go ahead, it's easy. You can use IMDb.
Oh, that was lovely.
You know, is there any way we could have that released as a single?
As a jingle single?
A jingle single.
A jingly singly?
Yeah.
Yeah, our singles are dead though, man. Ringtone.
Ringtone?
The kids love the ringtones.
Everything. It's all about the mobile phones now, isn't it?
It is, yeah. But you know.
You know what, Joe?
We just realised that.
Yeah. You know what? I can't imagine a family sitting around on a Friday night watching a mobile phone.
What?
That's, I don't know.
Let's do this competition anyway. Yeah. This is the part of the show where you have to call in and tell us who is speaking and what film they're talking about. This is an excerpt from a famous, well, is it a famous film? It's a recently released film. And this director and actor combination have appeared on the show before, making idiots of themselves, and they're about to do it again with even more strength and force. Adam, do you want to pick up this?
Right, so this first clip features the director talking about a specific scene in the film which features some gunplay. In fact, many of the clips in the film, well, the whole film is more or less just a big, long gunplay festival. But he's talking here about the fact that he was very excited on the day of the big gun scene because he absolutely loves guns.
Who took that bullet?
You.
I took that bullet.
Yeah. Babe. You did take it. Yeah. You love it. You get so excited around guns.
Guns
you're so
I've
excited
gun
about
fetish,
this day. So excited about this day.
I've got a f***ing illness, mate. I tell you, I think I'm ill.
You're not an animal nut. You're not an animal nut.
No, but like, the next film that I'm writing, it's just more guns in it and stuff. And I think I've got an illness around weapons. I think I need to have it looked at. As I told you, I shot 30 rabbits the other night. You know, I'm sick in the head, mate.
30.
But the worst thing is, I feel nothing about it. Got no morals. And I've done some squirrels the next morning.
Oh, and he's done a couple of squirrels. And they're the to get and all, apparently, the squirrels.
That's funny.
Where did he find 30 rabbits, anyway?
Well, they're posh. They're like Guy Ritchie. They live on massive estates in the countryside. As soon as they stop recording the commentary, it's, oh, yeah, love it, love it, yeah, bish, bash, bosh. Was that suitable, Duncan? Now, listen, I'm going for a little shoot. Daddy's got a problem with squirrels. They're a frightful pest. And then he reads The Guardian.
I mean, you've got to just go into a rabbit warren to shoot 30 rabbits.
They're
on
probably, he just buys them from the butcher, probably, and puts them on a wall and shoots them. 0871-222-1049. 0871-222-1049. If you know who that was talking and what movie they were talking about, it's a newish movie on the new release shelves of your local Blokebusters. To give you a clue, have we got another clip?
Yeah. Here's a clip right now, which actually reveals that the director has got some kind of a brain that he's using. He makes a kind of interesting point about sex scenes. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, this is good, this one.
And he does raise a really very valid point about sex scenes in films.
Yeah, sorry, I was going to make an innuendonic comment, but I won't.
About raising valid points?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, here he goes.
This is always mad to do a sex scene, do you know what I mean? It's always just a mad, odd thing, innit? You know what I mean?
I'll tell you something as well. I said, don't take your bra off. I don't want anything explicit. And I'll tell you why, because if you've watched as much porn as I have, right, none of this means anything to you. You shoot a sex scene, it doesn't mean anything.
No.
You can't make sex scenes work. So the best thing to do for me was to go completely the other way. Yeah. Like, don't get your carpets out.
Yeah.
I don't want to see all your bum and all that. Just do it really quick.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
Don't get your carpets
out. What's a carpet? I mean, and surely you've only got one of them.
No, I think he's saying, like, you know, people...
Ladies in general, do not get your carpets out.
Yeah, don't get any carpets out.
Yeah.
Because if you're planning on having...
all of your bum. He's just got an interesting use of plurals. I like it. Don't get all your bum out. But he's right, isn't he? That's the thing. He's absolutely right. Though, if you want to see really naughty things in this day and age, you can see them very easily.
Yeah.
They don't need to be slipped into proper films like they used to have to be in the 50s and 60s when you couldn't get access, and 70s, to dirtiness in the high street or on your computer.
As witnessed by, there was the 100 Sexiest Moments a few weeks ago on TV.
Missed it.
Missed that.
Yeah.
Hosted by a really exciting young presenter.
Called?
Jimmy Carr.
Oh, I've heard of him. Mm.
He was very good, and he linked all these sexy clips together.
Crazy.
But it was an odd experience watching it, because you kind of carried on just sort of thinking, surely something sexy is going to happen sooner or later. And they showed slightly edited versions of all these sex scenes. So it was even more anemic than the sex scene normally is in a film.
Not sexy, basically.
It was a very frustrating experience, all in all.
0871-222-1049, if you know what director that was, making a very good point about carpets and bums. And you could win them tickets. Have we got another clip, or is that it?
We'll play another clip when we get a caller, why don't we?
Okay, so there we go. Call 0871-222-1049 if you know the answer to that competition. And the phone lines are open now. That's Morrissey with You Have Killed Me.
Why have you killed me?
The Manchester Pope of Mirth's 8th solo album, Ringleader of the Tormentors, is where that single is from. It's out on April the 3rd. Very exciting for Morrissey fans. Yeah. We've got Lee on the line. Hello, Lee.
Hello.
Are you a Morrissey fan?
No, not at all.
No, you're a cheerful, upbeat bloke. So you reckon you know who it is behind our crap commentary competition?
Yes.
Shall we just play another clip to remind listeners who we're talking
about? Yeah, and if you have a listen to this clip, Lee, it might give you new ideas or make you rethink your guess.
Okay. Now, this is a point in the commentary where we have seen a couple of ladies kissing each other in the film.
What?
I know,
Why would ladies kiss each other?
It's disturbing and confusing.
Probably related.
And the star of the film is admitting...
Does it go like this? Hello, Cynthia. Hello.
No, it's more involved than that.
Oh.
And the star of the film is admitting that he got quite excited
when he saw that scene.
If you're heterosexual,
as far as
you got to do it. Look at her. Look.
Yeah.
Oh, the lazy one near that day, I remember that story.
Yeah, no, that's all right. You can say that. This is a forum for you to be able to just speak your mind, son. You know what I mean?
But I love you, Charles. I was only joking about that, but I did have a lazy one. She's a good soul. You've got to hold your hands up sometimes.
Lesbian action.
Yeah, I had lips up with her in the scene later, didn't I?
But lesbians have always got a few lesbians in the film.
Yeah, you got to chuck one in there. Yeah. You know, it's got to be done, innit?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true of cooking as well. And farming.
Everything goes better with lesbians.
Lee?
Yes.
You still with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Wow, what's your guess?
It sounds like Daniel Craig, so it's Layer Cake.
He sounds like Daniel Craig. Yeah.
Daniel Craig is a posh man.
He's a poshie. But Layer Cake, because it's full of gangsters and shooting, yeah. And I don't think there are any lesbians in Layer Cake.
There probably were, you know.
They probably didn't get involved.
I imagine
probably too sophisticated.
No, I'm sure there probably were. It's a good guess, Lee, but it's incorrect, I'm afraid.
Bad luck. Do you want to win some tickets anyway, Lee?
Yeah, I'd love to.
Would you like to go and see the delays at Shepherd's Bush Empire on Tuesday the 7th of March?
Yeah.
They might definitely. They might be a bit late on stage.
Because they're delayed.
God help us. Well, what about the Dead 60s at the Astoria?
They might not get on stage at all. Because they're dead.
God. Lee, there you go. Well, which one did you want?
Dead 60s, please.
There you go. Good choice. Thanks for calling. And that's a good guess.
This competition goes on. In a way, I'm pleased because we have another couple of clips to play of these extraordinary young men. So keep calling. 0871 222 1049 is the number.
Are we going to have some music first, then another crazy clip?
Let's play some music. Now, this is one of your favourite bands, Joe.
I love... Is this Oasis?
This is the Oasis.
Man, they embody my attitude to life.
Your cocky swagger.
My cocky swagger. Let's rock. That was The Feeling with Sewn, spelled S-E-W-N, as in you have sewn something, you have been sewing. Yeah, hello, Adam?
Yeah, I'm just thinking about it, but it might be the beginning of So Not. Oh, I don't know.
They're self-described soft rock archaeologists, and the band are out to make easy listening hip. There you go. And that's a top tip from XFM for 2006. They're going to be huge. The Feeling.
That's quite good. Maybe easy listening's coming back in, which is quite good for our ditties today because it's got an easy listening theme.
XFM London's 104.9. You're listening to Adam and Joe here on a Saturday afternoon. It's time to try and solve this crap commentary quandary. So far, we've had a wrong guess of Layer Cake. Should we play another clip, Adam?
Yeah.
Yeah. Have another listen to our Cockney friends, Cockney Sparrows.
Okay, so in this clip, the director is talking about the fact that his star, who is in the studio doing a commentary with him, looks lovely in the shot that they're looking at. Looks young and handsome. And so this takes him off on a kind of inappropriate reverie.
He looked like a film star, innit? I've got to say to you. So I'll take me out.
Young,
too,
looked so young and untouched,
yeah,
that's the thing.
Yeah, looked like a virgin.
He looked like a little virgin, you know what I mean?
I felt like a paedophile shooting that scene. It's like some sort of like a Nancy school teacher going, come on, boy, get your strides down. You know what I mean? So you'll be all right. I've just got a nice little helix ruler. I'm going to beat you across the crust with it.
Beat him across the what?
The crust?
The crust. We've got Brett on the line.
Hello.
Is it Brett? Yeah, hello, Brett.
Hello, how you doing?
Good, thanks. You enjoying the show?
Loving it.
Good, good. Loving it. I was just doing an impression of the people that were in that clip. It wasn't very good, was it?
Whereabouts are you from, Brett? Are you a East London boy?
No.
Do you understand the sort of language that these men are speaking?
I've no idea what they're talking about.
Do you say things like, oh, I want to get an Elex ruler and beat him across the crust with it? You've got to hold your hands out there, don't you?
What's your guess, Brett? Who do you think it is?
Well, it's Danny Dyer and Nick Love from The Business.
Correct.
Absolutely right.
And have you seen The Business, Brett?
I have seen The Business.
Have you seen Football Factory?
I've not seen Football Factory.
Oh, well, there's a treat in store for you. And what did you think of The Business? It's very very sort of immediate. I'd use the term in your face. It's not a term I use a lot.
It was all right. I always feel about the ending, you know what I mean?
Did you like the bit, the sort of, you know, the 10 minutes at the beginning or 5 minutes when they set everything up?
Yeah, I like that.
What did they do? They just beat some people up and then looked into the sky and a plane flew across the sky and it wrote the words... Get out of it, or something, didn't it?
No, it wrote something like, be the best, or...
Be the best,
keep dreaming,
And that was it, and that motivates the entire film.
Yeah.
It's sort of magic realism.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you've got to admire their chutzpah, haven't you? You've got to love it. You ain't made a film, have you?
Got to hold your hands up.
Well done, Brett.
Got to beat me across the hands.
So there you go. You can win... have we already given away the tickets to see the delays?
Nope.
No, do you want to go and see the delays? Say yes, Brett.
Yes, I would love to.
There you go. They might be a little bit late on stage.
Because they'd be delayed.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you very much.
And yeah, that's so that's Crap Commentary Corner for this week. And that's all we're going to hear from Nick Love and...
Danny Dyer.
Danny Dyer until couple of months' time when they've done another one.
When they make their next
probably
one.
Called The Bish Bosh.
I do recommend
about
it.
A bloke. That would be a good text competition. Come up with the new Danny Dyer and Nick Love film.
Yeah, that would be excellent. We should do that next week, maybe.
Yeah, the Slam Sandwich. That's what it would be called. A slam sandwich, that's quite good, isn't
it? It is quite good.
I'll write that down.
You know what? I do recommend The Business, though. I have to admit, I didn't actually watch the film. I just went straight
to
the
commentary.
And it was very enjoyable right the way through.
Man, so. I watched it on a plane and it was very enjoyable. It made the flight fly by.
There you go.
Yeah.
You'd be depressed if the flight didn't fly by, though.
Yeah.
Then what? Music.
Yes, music. This is Kanye West and Rhymefest with brand new. Kanye West and Rhymefest with brand new. That's the first hour of our show done. After these adverts, we're going to be back with another hour of excitement, including a journey into the extraordinary accent of Werner Herzog. Ditties in the Dock coming up at the end of the show, plus this week's controversial hot potato.
Our CHP, which is canned laughter in sitcoms. Where do you stand? Joe and I are going to be discussing the whole issue and brilliantly deconstructing it.
Yeah, so stay tuned if you're listening. XFM. That was Jack Johnson with Better Together, the fourth single taken from the Hawaiian surfer stroke singer stroke a songwriter's third album, In Between Dreams, follow-up to Sitting, Waiting and Wishing, which came out in November.
That's very interesting. And before that, you heard the Arctic Monkeys, of course.
Of course.
With When the Sun Goes Down.
The spotty superstars from Sheffield.
The spotty, sarcastic geniuses.
So listen, last week, listeners, you might remember that I gave you a little glimpse into the world of Timothy Treadwell, the star of Werner Herzog's new documentary, Grizzly Man, which I hope everyone went out and saw. If you haven't, I do highly recommend it. This week, I'd like to talk a bit about Werner Herzog himself, who's obviously a very famous German film director. One of the great things about watching a Herzog documentary is his voice and his extraordinary pronunciation. Adam and I are connoisseurs of funny voices in the media. Adam, you do a very good Tom Paulin, don't you? Give us a bit of Tom Paulin.
Well, Joe, I think it's absolutely extraordinary.
There you go. So there's Paulin. Someone else with a very interesting funny voice from the media is Mark Cousins, the film critic. Do a little bit of Cousins.
I get confused with Cousins
Mark,
and Paulin.
Cousins, he's the very... Oh, that's terrible.
That's,
I can't
Well, Joe, let's talk about this film here.
Okay, there you go. Yes. Brilliant. So there's Paulin, there's Cousins. Now, what about... Do you do a Schwarzenegger? This is building up. So stay, you know, stick with it. It's building up something. It's going somewhere. Do you do a Schwarzy?
I remember when I told you I'd kill you? I lied.
Yeah, what about something from Junior? My skin is...
Junior! Yes, Larry, feel my skin, it's so soft.
That's not
so there you go. So my theory is that if you combine Tom Paulin, Mark Cousins and Arnold Schwarzenegger, you get Werner Herzog. Let's see if that's true by hearing a little clip of his voiceover from Grizzly Man.
Her family declined to appear on camera and Amy herself remains hidden in Treadwell's footage. In nearly 100 hours of his video, she appears exactly two times. We never see her face. Here it is obscured by her hands and her hair.
And her hair. He really says every word in a way that you cannot possibly predict.
Every time, that's obviously not very good. But every time you think he's German, he goes American.
Yeah.
Every time you think he's American, he goes sort of posh English. And then he just goes into space. Her hair and her hands.
Yeah.
And her hands. So I want you to do an impression of this accent, Adam, because you're pretty good with accents. So let's listen to one more clip, and then I want to hear your... Because if you can do Paulin and Cousins and Schwarzy to that quality, you should be able to mix and blend all three and create a Herzog. Let's hear some more genuine Herzog.
To me, there is no such thing as a secret world of the bears. And this blank stare speaks only of a half-bored interest in food.
Bears to me, there is no such thing as an interest in bears.
No, that's not very good, is it?
I know that is quite good.
He talks...
But he sounds as if he is fed up and slightly disgusted everything. Yeah. But as soon as you think he is disgusted, he sounds very sympathetic.
He's pushing it a bit far, obviously.
There's another film, another documentary about the making of Fitzcarraldo called Burden of Dreams, on which it was beset by all kinds of problems. The film was about this
nice
guy.
Nice use of the word beset.
Thank you very much. The film was about this guy who wants to set up an opera house in the jungle or something, and he gets all these tribes people to shift an enormous
Paddle steamer, that's right, over a mountain.
Over a mountain. And more or less, that's what the, you know, the cast and crew had to do, sort of thing. They had to deal with the same problems that the guy in the film had to deal with. So it was a bit of a nightmare. Anyway, I recommend it if you can get hold of it. It's called Burden of Dreams.
But the connection there is that's where that brilliant Herzog quote comes from when he talks about... Basically, Herzog thinks that the world is a disgusting place, yeah, that nature is brutal and murderous, and that man's natural state is just to kill, destroy, and other rude words
everywhere
to everything.
I look in the jungle, I see murder, is what he says.
Yeah, and that's he has the same attitude to the bears. But there you go. That's us doing the hard sell on Werner Herzog, who's so talented that just the sound of his voice is amazing.
So what were you saying before about him getting shot by a BB gun?
Yeah, well, this was last week's news. I'll do that quickly because music fans might be getting music withdrawal symptoms. But he was being interviewed by, I think, Mark Kermode, the famous cowboy stroke film critic who carries a copy of The Exorcist around and wears a piece of string for a tie. And he was interviewing him on a mountain and some bloke just shot him. With a pellet gun, I think, and there was blood, and Herzog fell over, and I think he goes, "Oh, don't worry, that thing happens to me all of the time. It is my one of my fans."
Did he say, "It's okay, I'm not badly Herzog"?
He should have said that. Let's have some music.
All right, then, now here's one of my favourite bands. Haven't played this band for a while, and it's one of my favourite tracks by them. This is Spoon with 30 Gallon Tank.
That was the Gorillaz with Dare. The Gorillaz, the big hairy bunch of sillies. That's right, it's Adam and Joe. On London's XFM, it might stand for Xylophone Funny Music. That's me attempting to tell jokes. Why are we playing that sound effect, Adam?
Well, that is what's known, of course, as canned laughter.
Brilliant.
Now, that's a laughter that is played in off a CD or, pre-recorded laughter, basically, that just has nothing to do with what's actually happening in the studio at the time. And we were talking about the It crowd earlier on Channel 4's new sitcom, and I've been noticing that a lot of people have been criticising it for having canned laughter, what they call canned laughter. And, of course, it doesn't actually have canned laughter. It has the laughter of a live studio audience that was watching the show being taped.
What were watching?
What was were being watched?
What was watching?
Was watching the show being done?
So a lot, and just generally, a lot of people think any laughter they hear on the telly is canned, unless they see the audience themselves. They think it's fake. Sometimes, even when they see the audience, they think it's fake.
That's right, and then they get confused by the fact that some bits could not conceivably have been recorded live, bits that require special effects or special camera editing stuff. Mm-hmm. Like that. So what they don't realise, I think, is that in those situations, the audience is seeing the pre-recorded section being played into them. So, for example, on the It crowd, you've got the whole thing taking place. A lot of it takes place in their little nerdy, nutty room.
Yeah, now you speak with authority for anyone who's just tuned in, because you had a little part in the It crowd.
I saw it all being done. And so they shoot it in Teddington Studios.
Yeah, it's like going to the theatre, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
And the bits that aren't in front of you are played on tellies in front of you, so every response is real.
Yeah, that's right.
But sometimes they do things twice, and the warm-up guy goes, "Laugh at this as if it's the first time you've laughed at it." So it is true to say that some of the... If you were being really pernickety...
Yeah, but I think that's fair enough. Graham Linehan, who directs the IT crowd and wrote it... said to me that someone criticised him once for using a laugh from a previous take.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, they had a technical problem with a joke that otherwise went down very well, so they had to retake it, and then the audience laughed less strongly the second time because they'd already seen the joke.
Yeah.
So they used the original laugh over the second take.
Yeah. It's a minefield. From? It's a minefield. If you're a pedantic comedy fan, nothing pleases you.
People get very upset.
People get upset. But people are funny in terms of their relationship to fiction and reality, aren't they? It's like, do you remember when somebody did an expose on the fact that on BBC wildlife documentaries, they don't film it all outside? Sometimes they take the little animals inside, simulate the greenery, and then film them.
Oh, yeah.
And so people said, well, that's not a documentary.
Right.
It's not wildlife, because you've taken them indoors.
There was a big scandal, wasn't there? And wasn't Mr. Attenborough, Attenborough...
Yeah, he had to, like, defend himself. Similarly, in America, there's a man who's written a book called A Million Little Pieces about his experience as a drug addict. It was chosen for Oprah Winfrey's book club. Now she's discovered that some of it's fictional, And she hauled him on her show and humiliated him in front of the whole of America.
No way.
Because his story is slightly exaggerated. But that's fiction, Oprah.
Really?
You know? Yeah. That's another amazing story. But people have a very funny relationship with truth. They don't understand that the point of made-up things is to be extra truthful by being made up. You can sometimes be even more truthful by lying.
Plus, it's to go back to the whole canned laughter thing, or the live studio audience laughter in this case, it's totally appropriate for the kind of show it is. It's a big, mad, cartoonish show. It's designed to be seen by a live audience. If you didn't have a laugh track on there, you couldn't hear the audience laughing, it would feel really sparse. Like, did you ever see Ben Elton's sitcom, Blessed?
No.
That didn't have a laugh track. That was what they call a single camera show, i.e. it was not shot in front of a live audience, but it was paced and written as if it should be, you know what I mean? So you'd have all these big clunky gags, and then no one would laugh, including the people watching it at home, and it felt really, really weird and sparse.
Let's see what we, our scientists, have to say about this argument.
Yes, that's a good way of wrapping it up for you there. That's concluding this week's HCP.
No, it's Controversial Hot Potato.
CHP.
This is We Are Scientists with It's a Hit!
That was We Are Scientists with It's a Hit. This is Adam and Joe on XFM.
Now, a couple of weeks ago, I don't know whether you saw this, Adam, that Channel 4 did an extraordinary expose on low-cost airlines.
Oh, yes, about...
how what they all fall asleep and it's all dirty and they don't repair the planes proper and all that sort of stuff.
Well, it was about one airline specifically, wasn't it?
I don't know, and I don't think we should mention them just in case there's any kind of legal action. But, you know, with absolutely no connection, do you ever watch the series Airline?
Where they have people have arguments.
Yeah.
In
so
airports.
Here's my question for you, Adam Buxton, and everybody listening on this lovely Saturday afternoon: how does that airline stay in business? Because everybody has an awful time,
isn't it? Stelios's airline.
Yeah, it's EasyJet.
Yeah.
But that program is just a parade of misery, of arguments and misery. Every single person that seems to fly EasyJet seems to go not be able to get on board and then have a huge argument with the staff who don't give an inch because they're on telly and they assume we side with them because they're the underdogs.
I think they're just being open about what it's really like in an airport.
Yeah, but they've been too open.
Too open?
Because it looks like a nightmare flying on there, doesn't it? Would you? You're guaranteed an argument with a stupid woman in an orange apron.
No, all the people that get into arguments are mental anyway on that.
Well, show. I don't know. It's just, to me, it's just people complaining the whole time and saying things like, I demand to see your superior. Or saying, look, I'm a journalist. And this made me think about, times when you're complaining to someone on the phone and you maybe tell a little lie to try and get a little more back.
Have you ever done that?
Yes. And you know, you feel that this is futile. If they just think I'm a normal spot, I'm not going to get anything out of them. So I'll pretend I'm someone more powerful. It's like that thing when you go into a restaurant and you get bad service. I say you as if other people have done this. And I'm not saying I've done it. But when the waitress goes past, you might mumble something under your breath like, yeah, and the review's being published on Tuesday. Yeah, and that's why I stopped being the food critic for the Times. Just as the waiter goes past. Do you ever do that?
Yeah, and Jamie Oliver said to me...
In airline, people try all sorts of stuff. I'm a journalist of the good one. The other day, there was a woman who said, look, I have a friend who works closely with Tony Blair. Now, what's that supposed to do? How would you actually carry that threat through? Well, he didn't let me on the plane, so I'm going to call my friend who works closely with Tony Blair.
Yes.
And get that person, what, put in prison?
Put in prison,
get a law
or
passed.
Get some bill to shut the airline down.
Get Tony Blair to tick them off.
Increase the price of petrol for EasyJet.
Anyway, those are the sorts of questions that go through my head when I'm watching airline.
What's the most outrageous thing you've ever complained about and sort of pulled rank on?
I pretended I was doing a radio documentary about about council services in order to get my council to clean up a little park around the corner from me.
Did you get any joy?
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Result. That's never worked for
me.
Was
he told some sort of a lie, Adam?
I think I did. I got very frustrated with this years ago. In the old days when I was still trying to be thin, I bought a running machine and the running machine broke fairly quickly. And then I tried to get the company to take it back. And it took years and years of misery and phone calls. And it was awful. And then I pretended that I was making a documentary for the BBC about bad service. That's all I could think of.
That's terrible. I thought you said a documentary about a broken running machine.
No, it wouldn't. No, okay, I didn't.
We should try this next week. Let's call someone up and do it live on the radio and do the most rubbish lie about what your authority is and see whether they go for it.
Okay, we should play some more music. Here's the Zootons with Why Won't You Give Me Your...
What?
I don't know.
It just says, Why Won't You Give Me You? That's a good enough title. Your why? Love, yeah.
Why won't you
but
give
why
me
won't...
You?
Adam, why won't you give me you?
I can't give me you.
I want
you me.
It. This is Adam and Joe on XFM London's 104.9. It's time for Ditties in the Dock. Yes, this is the part of the show where we pitch two records to you and you choose what one we finish the show off with. It's very, very simple. The number to call is 0871 222 1049. 0871 22 210 4449.
That's a big confusion.
Yeah, sorry, 0871 222 1049. So here we go. This week's theme is middle of the road music, Radio 2 style music that makes you feel all soft and warm and comfy, unlike the sort of spiky rock youth nonsense they play. Not nonsense, brilliant stuff they play here on XFM.
Yeah, I was thinking about calling this category Guilty Pleasures, but I think that's misleading, that whole Guilty Pleasures thing.
It's overused as well.
It's overused.
It's Sean Rowley's domain.
Sean Rowley's domain, but the whole notion of Guilty Pleasures in music, I think, is ridiculous. I don't feel guilty about any...
Controversial.
Any piece of music that
I enjoy.
A sudden
spike of opinion.
Yeah.
And anger.
It's a CHP. But anyway, I love the music that we are voting for this week.
Can I pitch mine first?
Yeah, you go ahead.
Okay, I'm going to start with my pitch then. Yeah. I want you to call 0871 222 1049 and vote for The Carpenters with On Top of the World.
Oh, it's a smash.
Oh, it's a smash. It's such a jolly, friendly, you know, upbeat song. It'll make everyone feel happy. And a topical Carpenters fact. Did you know that Gene Simmons, rock genius and host of Channel 4's show Rock School that finished the other day, once made a pass at Karen Carpenter, tried to sleep with her.
Did he really? And did she go for it?
Well, she just told her... No, he told her that he just slept with everybody. And no, she refused.
Right.
The one person that didn't sleep with Gene Simmons.
He reckons that he's... I heard him admit that his standards aren't very high. So he just pretty much used to sleep with any old...
You know, I think that's... Boiler. I think that is the hidden fact between any... You know, underneath anyone who has a reputation for many conquests.
Yeah.
I think basically the truth is... Got no standards.
He said something about, like, one of the other guys in Kiss. Oh, you know, he didn't sleep with quite so many people because he liked the lookers.
So there you go. Call 0871 222 1049 and vote for The Carpenters with On Top of the World. Or...
Okay, I want you to vote for Neil Diamond. Now, Neil Diamond is someone I always enjoyed, but he's never been a particularly fashionable character. I suppose maybe he was around the time of The Jazz Singer, perhaps a film about his life, starring himself, I believe. Anyway, he had
wasn't
an album...
Wasn't it a remake of The Jazz Singer, The famous, the first talkie.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Well, I'm sorry about that kind of thing. I don't know. But apart from that, he has had an album out recently produced by Rick Rubin. I'm not going to actually choose one of the tracks from the Rick Rubin album. I haven't heard it myself. It's supposed to be good. But the word is that it's not quite as spectacular as what Rick Rubin did for Johnny Cash. Yeah, so I want you to vote for a song of his called Cracklin' Rosie. And he goes like this, Cracklin' Rosie, get on board. It's amazing, and it has the refrain, play it now, play it now, play it now, my babe. Goes on like that. Do you remember that one, Joe?
Yeah, that rings a bell, but it might sound like a different song.
That's a smash.
You sung it very well.
Thanks very much.
You've got a strong, authoritative voice.
Okay, so is it going to be The Carpenters or Neil Diamond?
On Top of the World or Cracklin' Rosie, call 0871 222 1049. Everybody who gets on the air wins a copy of William H. Macy's film about a man what makes gamblers unlucky called The Cooler.
Call now. XFM.
This is Adam and Joe on XFM. You join us at the gut-wrenching conclusion of the show. It's time to resolve Ditties in the Dock. This week, it's a middle-of-the-road, Radio 2-style, easy-listening playoff between Neil Diamond with what?
Cracklin' Rosie.
And The Carpenters with On Top of the World. Both tracks guaranteed to cockle your warmth. Or what? Of your heart. You know what I mean. We've got John on the line. Is it John?
Yeah.
Hello, John.
Hey, John, how are you doing?
All right, thanks.
How's your Saturday going?
Busy.
Yeah, what are you up to?
I've been doing some filming today, actually.
What have you been filming?
Kind of like action sports
sports stuff.
Action sports stuff? Do you work for the Extreme Sports Channel or something?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, do you really?
Well, I make a show for them, yeah.
I
want
like
to get you guys on it.
Do you ever watch The Groms on Channel 5? I love that show.
Yeah, they're good, though. Not many of them are Groms anymore.
No, obviously not as good as your stuff or whatever, but man, I love that show. Is he called Christian Stevenson, that funny Canadian?
Like the dude, yeah.
Yeah, on that bus. It just looks like such a laugh. Like
what
going,
is Groms?
They go across America. He takes six teenagers across America, and they skate in every single skate park in the States, coast to coast. And it's really good. Anyway, but we're getting off the subject. Okay. What are you voting for, John?
Carpenters.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, are you a big fan of the Carpenters?
On a road trip, you can't go wrong with the Carpenters.
Good Absolutely. Choice.
Carpenters' greatest hits.
Yeah.
Well done, John. Thanks for calling. Thanks for voting. That's 1-0 to Cornish. You win a copy of the William H. Macy movie, The Cooler. You excited about that?
Can't wait to see it again.
Probably in the fridge.
Nice, Joe. Yeah. Cheers, John. Good luck with the action sports. I always think action sports makes me think of people playing football with machine guns. Right now,
if only they do that.
Jess, are you on the line there?
Yes, hello.
How are you doing, Jess?
I'm very good, thank you.
Jess, we hear your phone is running out of batteries, which gives it a sort of, you know, what they call a ticking clock in drama. It makes it more exciting. At any moment, your phone could cut out.
And I wouldn't get to vote.
Imagine. So let's get that out of the way first. Who are you voting for?
I'm going to go for Neil Diamond, please.
Diamond, thank you very much.
Diamond the Diamond. Are you a fan of Diamond? Yes.
Oh, absolutely. Can't go wrong with Life of Sweet Caroline.
Sexy man? You think he's a sexy man?
Oh, absolutely.
Still sexy?
Right up my street.
Right up your street.
Ooh, steady. Okay. What are you up to this afternoon, Jess?
I've just been out running, so I'm just going to get ready to go over to the fence for dinner this evening.
You sound as if you have been out running. You're very perky.
I bet you're fit.
I bet you are fit.
I bet you're physically fit.
All that running.
I bet you're fit.
Yeah, I bet you're fit.
Where'd you run? I'll come and run with you.
I bet you haven't got any fat. I bet you're not fat.
I like a bird.
I like a bird that runs.
Yeah. Do you have a ciggy after you've had a run?
No, absolutely not.
Really? It's a good idea.
How long do you run for?
Have a Mickey D's instead.
A Mickey D's after a run. How long's your run last, Jess?
It's just an hour.
An hour?
Really? That's almost as long as this link.
That's unbelievable.
Hey, Jess, thanks for voting. So it's 1-0. You win a copy of The Cooler as well. We're going to have to accelerate through this a bit. Is that Larry? Larry, are you there?
No, it's Louisa.
Louisa?
Yeah.
Is your name Louisa? Or is it pronounced Louisa? Louisa, where's that from? What country?
My dad is from El Salvador.
Right.
London.
I bet you that makes life complicated, doesn't it? Because people must just call you Louisa the whole time.
Yeah.
And then you have to say, no, it's Louisa. And then they look at you like, it's the same thing, but you're just pronouncing it wrong.
Yeah.
And then you get into a big fight, and then you lose all your friends, and then you're begging. And
You don't know how to do that, is.
So listen, Louisa, I'm going to do it the same with the TH. Yeah? Hello?
Okay, fine.
Louisa. Who are you voting for?
The Carpenters.
The Carpenters. Well done. That's 2-1 to Cornish.
Oh, thanks very much for your call, Louisa.
Thanks, Louisa. Finally, we go to Harry. Hello, Harry.
Hello.
You're spelt with an H-A-R-R-I. Is that correct?
That's right.
Harry.
That's almost like
Harriet
Krishna.
And Harry, what do you do for a living?
I'm a magazine designer.
Really?
Yeah.
What magazine do you design? Do you want to say? You don't have to say if you don't want
to. I can say I design for Bliss magazine.
Oh, ooh. Bliss is a beautifully designed magazine.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, no, it's all pink and it's got pretty girls on it.
And then it's got
problem pages, hasn't it? How many problem pages has it got?
It's got quite a few.
One for boys, one for girls.
Very useful information for those girls out there.
I still find that information useful.
You know a lot about Bliss, Joe.
I do. I read Bliss and Sneak because they're always in the XFM office.
Oh.
And they've got the latest pictures of Preston and the lads from Busted.
There you go.
Got to keep up to date with their tattoos and stuff.
Surely it's quite easy to design a magazine. You just get like a load of pages and stick them together.
What a stupid thing to say. Wasn't that a stupid thing to say,
I'm
Harry?
I'm not going to design
a magazine. Couldn't be harder.
Absolutely, that's what I think.
So, Harry, what are you voting for?
I'm voting for the Carpenters.
Oh! Well done.
Busted. Buxton's out of the picture.
Buxton's
I didn't even realise.
Totally painted out of the picture. Well done. That's 3-1 to Cornish, making the fifth caller obsolete. Harry there wins a copy of The Cooler. That'll be exciting. You can lend it to everybody else who works on Bliss.
Excellent.
They'll be excited about that free DVD.
Absolutely.
Thanks for your call, Harry. We really appreciate it.
So that's the end of the show this week. We're playing you out with The Carpenters.
You know what? I'm not that gutted because this is a lovely song.
Oh, it is lovely. Thanks for listening, everybody. And we'll be back with you next week.
I love you. Bye.
Bye.
such a feeling's coming over me. There is wonder in most everything I see. Not a cloud in the sky, got the sun in my eyes, and I won't be surprised if it's a dream. Everything I want the world to be is now coming true, especially for me. And the reason is clear, it's because